Remaking Middle School is launching a middle school listening tour. We want to know what comes to mind when you hear middle school. What do you think is and isn't working for middle school students today? What is the future of middle-level education? If you are any of the following, a parent, a teacher, administrator, youth development professional, policymaker, or youth advocate of middle grade students, we would love to hear from you. There are two ways in which you can lend your voice to this project. You can complete an online survey. The survey will take about 10 minutes to complete. And or you can chat with a member of the Remaking Middle School team. Interviews take about 30 to 45 minutes of your time and can be done by phone or Zoom. If you're interested in sharing your perspective on middle school education, please visit remakingmiddleschool.org and click sign up for the listening tour. Hi, this is Jason Cascarino. Thanks for listening to the Lessons in Adolescence podcast, a production of the Remaking Middle School Initiative, whose founding partners include Youth Next, the University of Virginia's Center to Promote Effective Youth Development, and the Association for Middle Level Education, or AMLE. You can learn about Remaking Middle School on the web at remakingmiddleschool.org. Now, here's this episode. Hello and welcome to the Lessons in Adolescence podcast, where we explore the many facets that impact young adolescents in the middle school years, from the adverse to the awkward to the awesome. I'm your host, Jason Cascarino. Today, we will hear the voices of young people. We ordinarily share with you an interview, but this episode will be a little bit different. Instead, we will feature a series of comments and reflections and perspectives on the power of youth voice in helping young adolescents figure out what they care about, who they are, and the worth they see in themselves.
Well, what I thought was, oh my God, like you had to do this to be this cool. But then as I got older, closer to 7th and 8th grade, I realized there's only one me, and perfect isn't real, but you can be perfect for yourself. People might stay by you for the rest of your life, but it's not going to be like as well as you know yourself. You don't have to like impress anybody else. It's you really know what you like. You don't have to change anything about yourself.
In part one of this episode, we hear from a youth program professional from Mikvah Challenge, a Chicago-based organization that pioneered a type of experiential civics learning programming they call Action Civics. We also hear from researchers and program professionals from the University of Virginia's Youth Next Center for Effective Youth Development. These adults talk about some of the research base on youth voice, calling out its importance in early adolescent development, the role of educators in making room for and amplifying youth voice, and setting up learning environments where youth voice can be elevated to authentic youth participation. In part two, we will hear from young people. About a half dozen adolescents talk about their experiences participating in the Mikvah Challenge program. They share how the program offers venues for engaging in issues important to them and their community, for fostering positive relationships, and for developing confidence and a positive self-concept. That's in just a little bit. Now, here's part one, featuring researchers and program professionals from Mikvah Challenge and the UVA Youth Next Center.
Mikvah Challenge is a youth-focused organization where we pretty much focus on making sure that youth feel empowered, that they are informed about the things going on around them, and that they take active participation in the society that they want to be able to see. And we do that through what we like to call action civics. And it's a way of combining youth action and youth activation within the civic landscape, right? And we do that through really uplifting youth expertise and youth voice, you know, learning by doing and having our young people truly engage in the community, and also reflection, right? Reflection is key. It's important in growth, and it's also important in how we take action.
That was Jelani Santa Cruz, a youth council manager at Mikvah Challenge. Mikvah offers a variety of educational programming centered on youth engagement in schools and communities. Mikvah's Project Soapbox teaches young people to identify issues they care about and want to see changed, coaches them how to express their voices on those issues, and puts them in front of decision makers who can act upon it. The organization also provides in-school action civics curriculum and training for teachers. Out of school, Mikvah forms youth councils in various neighborhoods to position young people as experts and advocates. And it connects youth to the political process through policy internships and training them to be election judges. In all, these experiences foster a sense of agency that is one of the foundational concepts of youth voice.
So the kind of the term like student voice actually isn't new. It goes back to 1990s when a number of educators and researchers and some social critics kind of noted the exclusion of student voices from conversations about learning and teaching and schooling. And so there was really this shift at this time of thinking of students as, say, more kind of silent or passive recipients of their education, to seeing students as really capable persons whose opinions and ideas matter and who are able to take real ownership of their own learning. Thinking about perspectives, both individual as well as collective, student opinion and collective influence, decision-making, unique perspectives, agency, efficacy. So we can think about some of those connections between those activities and those developmental needs. So for example, we know that for young adolescents, it becomes really important at this age as they're forming their identity and kind of making sense of who they are and the world around them and their connections. We know that they really value kind of thinking about issues that really matter to them. So this ability to influence issues that matter to them through youth voices is really important and well aligned to the developmental needs of this age. We also know, thinking about cognitive development, that young adolescents are able to think more critically and solve more complex problems. So this, again, this idea that they're able to engage in active problem solving through youth voice activities is really important. Relationships are super critical at this age. So again, through youth voice activities, being able to develop those closer relationships both with adult and peers is really valuable. Being able to assume more leadership roles through this is really important. And then overall, just thinking about their increased sense of agency and voice at this age, certainly youth voice activities are able to support that. What we call the ABCs of youth development. So agency, belonging, and competence. And thinking about for each of those, what are ways that student voice really increases this asset or strength for young people?
You just heard from Abby Gillespie, Director of Strategy and Engagement for the Youth Next Center at the University of Virginia. Youth Next focuses on effective youth development in the domains of out-of-school time, educational systems, and community engagement. Youth Next is one of the founding partners of the Remaking Middle School Initiative, which produces this podcast. The building blocks of youth voice finds its root in a long history of youth development theory, something that educators and researchers alike have continued to evolve over the years. What they've found is that there are specific ingredients, specific elements that can help foster youth engagement. Faith Zabek, a postdoctoral research associate with Youth Next, explains.
There are four critical elements to authentic youth engagement. That's authentic decision-making, natural mentors, reciprocal activity, and community connectedness. So the first one, authentic decision-making, is about more than just simply letting youth express themselves or, you know, gathering youth perspectives on things. It's about recognizing youth as valuable producers of knowledge and valuing their perspective. And this is probably one of the hardest of the domains. And so having things like administrator buy-in or parent buy-in are key to success. And then doing things like implementing student decision-making into your school mission can help facilitate success there. As far as natural mentors, that's going to be the foundation for success. So that relationship building and ensuring that you're supporting youth and helping them develop their leadership skills is going to be the foundation for all future youth voice initiatives. And reciprocity, so again, making sure that youth and adults are learning from each other and working as partners. And then lastly, community connectedness. That's really the ultimate goal, is to cultivate youth civic engagement and give them opportunities where students can authentically share. You can practice active listening. So instead of giving advice or leading students in a certain direction, just listen and affirm what they're saying, reflect what they're saying. And then just regularly share updates about how students' voices and concerns and their thoughts are being addressed and incorporated in into decision making.
We know that there are reliable ways of engaging young people, but although theory might make it sound pretty straightforward, it's rarely as simple as any textbook solution. In reality, it's always an ongoing process of assessment and readjustment to the people and the spaces and structures around them.
So when we're thinking about student voice, as we all know, it's necessary to kind of consider whose voices we're centering in our schools and how we as educators can ensure that all voices have a seat at the table. So it's important that we not only consider whose voices are at the table, but what it looks like for students to authentically engage with their voices. So we know that power dynamics are inherent in our attempts to integrate student voice and to promote different various kinds of participation. And so we have to remain keenly aware of what these structures are, what these structural issues are when we're choosing to engage students' voices. And so we can figure out ways to kind of mitigate those barriers. So thinking, what exactly does that authentic student voice look like? So to help us consider what authentic student voice looks like, we can look at Hart's ladder of youth participation. And this ladder is a way of looking at different levels of youth participation from that very bottom level of manipulation all the way up to that top level of student slash adult equity. The intention is not that all of our school has to be at this very tip top of the ladder at all times. But the goal instead is to kind of move away from the lower rungs of non-participation as we seek to foster more authentic and powerful youth engagement. And so there might be times in which it makes sense to be at different rungs on this ladder, as long as we're slowly pushing ourselves out of those lower rungs of non-participation. Another thing that we wanted to point out here is that different types, just like we said on the ladder, our goal isn't always to be at the tip top, but there's value in different areas, there are different rungs of the ladder. Different types of ways of engaging students might have different uses or goals or drawbacks. So for example, a school-wide survey is going to capture more voices and opinions than we could capture through a smaller focus group or through a smaller student leadership council. But a student leadership council is going to allow for more co-planning and shared responsibility. And so it's important to, as you're kind of considering where your activity, where your initiation to involve students is going to be, it's important to consider what your goal is of that work. Because there might be times when it makes sense to do a student survey and you want to capture a lot of broad opinions, but there also might be times when you should really be thinking critically about whose voices are we hearing on the student leadership council.
That was Ashley Shogren, also a postdoctoral research associate with the Youth Next Center. As she describes it, youth voice is key to creating more engaged learning, but it is never a one-size-fits-all solution. It's a collaborative process that thrives on reciprocity among students, their peers, and their teachers. It's a constant conversation to make sure that the needs of the students are being met as they evolve over time. That was part one of our episode exploring the topic of youth voice. In part two, we hear from a group of young adolescents taking part in the Mikvah Challenge program, the true knowledge holders of this experience. Through a set of excerpts from interviews and student panels, we dive deep into their insights on relationships, building confidence, and how best to shape the future schools they want to see. That's in just a moment on the Lessons in Adolescence podcast, where we feature conversations with researchers, practitioners, program developers, and advocates for young adolescents in the middle school years. Recently, I spoke with Nate Pietrini and Yolanda Luna Miraz from HiTrump, a 30-year-old academic enrichment program offered to high-achieving but under-resourced students in Chicago. Nate is a former teacher and principal and now HiTrump's executive director. Yolanda is chief programs officer, also having been an educator and school leader. Both are working to expand HiTrump's programming to more students in the middle grades to support their learning and development and better prepare them for the transition into high school, which a great many students find hard to do well.
So you see students get to high school and they're just unsure and unclear of what the values are, the norms and the expectations within that school. And when they learn about it, they learn about it after they've screwed up. They learn about it after their grades got trashed, right? So if you had a really lenient homework policy in your middle school, but you don't have one in your high school, you don't fully understand what that means because you've never had to understand what that means, you get dinged on it, right? And so I think it's really important at these transition years that people remember that the rug is getting pulled out from under kids. And just because they crossed over from eighth grade to ninth grade, they're not all of a sudden a young adult who can fully advocate for themselves, who seeks out all the answers on their own. And I think ninth grade staff and faculty really need to treat young students like it's gradual release and really reground them in their community.
You can catch all of my conversation with Nate and Yolanda in a previous episode. And now, returning for part two of our episode on Youth Voice.
We had did a scavenger hunt, and basically we had to use social media. And so we had to hang up posters that basically said to like clean up the community or stop the gun violence. So basically we took a picture with the poster and we posted it on social media so that people could look at it and just think about it. If people actually take their time to actually read it, they can actually think about how it's changing these kids' environments. Because I feel like something that I really want to keep my voice heard about is about like the killings and people actually dying from them. Because I don't feel like nobody deserves to die that way. They're supposed to live their lives freely, you know?
That was Haley, a participant in the Mikvah Challenge program. Like many parts of the country, especially in our urban centers, incidents of crime and violence have risen sharply in Chicago during the COVID pandemic, providing outlets for youth like Haley to articulate their thoughts and feelings about issues that are top of mind and that affect their day-to-day lives is an essential part of helping them not only navigate present-day challenges, but also grow a sense of agency. They're able to develop the tools, experience, and access to get involved in their communities. Fostering that engagement means centering the voices of young people. For fellow students Liz, Amaya, Michelle, Sitlali, and Diana, Youth Voice has played a big role in helping them speak up about the issues they're passionate about.
When I feel my voice is heard and respected is when we have stakeholders like the alderman or the mayor or just people from the police stations come and join our meetings and listen to our ideas. Like one time we had Alderman Stephanie D. Coleman of the 16th Ward come to our sessions and listen to our ideas, and we got feedback from her.
Yeah, like she said, my cousin, he used to go down and his uncle had told me about it and wanted me to get signed up.
This job is like real fun and experience. It's like new things I haven't done before. Like I never really cleaned my community up before until like I joined Mikvah and we had a community cleanup session and I went there. And it was actually kind of fun.
I feel like I'm heard here at Mikvah because, like, for example, I used to be a part of CYRT. CYRT is a program that's, like, connected to Mikvah. And in that program, we were coming up with recommendations about schools that we could implement. And during that, we, the youth, and including me, we were able to come up with recommendations. And I felt heard because I was able to contribute to those recommendations, and I really felt good about that because I didn't feel like any of my ideas were tossed aside or anything. People were listening to me and taking my ideas into consideration, and again, that made me feel really good.
It made me feel good because I know that in a school setting, we're not used to being heard or like our thoughts go into consideration. So it's just like, I find it so cool that you guys are trying to make a change and make your schools better by listening to students, which is awesome because it's not like, oh, teacher's voice matters, so you don't. Students need to know that their voice matters and that we're all equal. So I just appreciate you guys for trying to do this change.
What's the secret to keeping up this change? How do we continue to encourage students to use their voices? At its core, strong relationships have empowered these young leaders to thrive in and out of the classroom. From anticipating a transition into high school to dealing with unprecedented times, these students found themselves leaning on their support networks to navigate the unique challenges of school life.
For me, the transition, it was awfully nerve-wracking. I was scared, you could say. And some of the things I experienced was like I had to let go of a lot of relationships I had in middle school. And other than that, since my eighth grade year was virtual, we didn't really have any like preparation to like, oh, so like this is how high school is going to be like. No, it wasn't like that. Because it was virtual, we were basically just like forced into it. I mean, I wouldn't say forced, but it was definitely like a sudden change. And I also was the only one in my grade to admit it into a selective enrollment school. So it made me like a lot nervous since I didn't really have anyone I could relate to. This is actually my first year going into the building, like in person. So it was also nerve-wracking for me since it's a new building and I'm learning new things and meeting new people, which is really, really scary for me. But I think one thing that educators can do to best prepare the students for the transition in general is to just talk to them. The experience was definitely made like a little bit more calming when I had teachers come up to me and talk to me and be able to answer questions for me about high school and how it was going to be like and what things that I would experience. And that made me feel a lot more calm about the whole thing, because just like having someone to talk to in like difficult times and something as big of a step as going into high school was definitely beneficial to me in order to really transition well.
So for me, the transition from middle school to high school, I wasn't prepared for it because all of my eighth grade year was virtual. I've already had 3 to 4 weeks of school already. I've communicated with my teachers a lot, having to go to their office hours in the mornings just to get help on assignments that I might need. Teachers should help prepare their students with social skills because it's important to communicate with your teachers, especially if you're having trouble on an assignment like I do, and they just won't feel awkward and be scared to go to the office hours.
For me, the transition was, like Michelle said, nerve-wracking and scary. I was also virtual for my freshman year. I went into a new environment without knowing nothing. And it's scary because you go from a small school where you know everybody to like this big school where there's like 100 plus people you don't know. Making friends is hard, especially since we've been virtual all year. And it's everyone, I've seen it in pattern in my school, is everyone's just on their phones. So I feel like maybe like some key things to like socialize, like maybe have like community builders at the school just to like know how to make friends in the future and stuff like that will make the high school experience run a little smoother.
Before school even started, when we went to, registration and all that stuff, I had met her. She was actually the first teacher of mine that I ever met. My biology teacher, her name is Miss Hill. The one reason why I feel like I can go to her is because during open house, all this stuff, I gradually just started communicating more with her. And now she's one of my favorite teachers, and I feel like I can share anything with her. If I'm having a hard time, I go to her.
My science teacher, her name is Miss Alola. Not only is she a teacher, she also act like your friend. And she also like, I don't know how to explain it, but she, like she act like your friend. She act like not only is she a teacher, but you can always come to her and ask her any questions. She makes you comfortable. She like make the classroom like a safe place and for you to talk and communicate, even if you have homework. Like if you have homework in another classroom, yeah, she also help you with that.
Basically, if I don't understand something, they think that it's something that the whole class should get more deep into and learn. And I feel like that's actually good because some kids might have the same difficulty in what subject we're doing. Like the same thing as me. Everybody getting a better understanding of what's going on, you know, it's good.
I feel like I do have a good connection with them, especially my math teacher, because like, if you don't understand the problem that she's doing, she'll like come up to you and then explain it in like a different way so that like you understand it. And like, she's just very helpful.
I believe that it is incredibly helpful and beneficial for teachers to be able to encourage their students to speak up. It'd be really helpful as well if like they did like private conversations as well, because I know there's like a lot of kids who don't want to share their ideas. Like with people knowing that it came from them specifically. So I think it'd be a good idea if like they could share their ideas to someone, a teacher, adult, whoever they want to, like privately, so they could like still share their voice, but like not be afraid of like having to talk to like a huge group of people about it. Because without encouragement, I believe that a student can feel like sort of like, oh, this isn't a good idea. Oh, I shouldn't bring this up. So that encouragement can really, really help a student come out of their shell in order to like talk about things that maybe they don't want to talk about to other people.
Joining her peers in that discussion is Nellie. All these students share what made certain connections so impactful to their academic growth. But school isn't only about doing well in class and getting good grades. It's also a time where many students begin developing a sense of self. Gaining confidence and trust in themselves as young people remains a vital lesson that Liz, Haley, and Honesty have all learned over the years.
So I feel like middle schoolers can overcome peer pressure. Well, what I thought was, oh my God, like you had to be like, you had to do this to be this cool. But then as I got older, closer to seventh and eighth grade, I realized there's only one me and perfect isn't real, but you can be perfect for yourself. People might stay by you for the rest of your life, but it's not going to be like as well as you know yourself. You don't have to like impress anybody else. It's you really know what you like. You don't have to change anything about yourself.
One thing that I got to say is be you. You don't got to change for anybody or anything. Just act yourself, because you know you can go a long way by acting yourself.
Not gonna lie, I used to be a follower. I used to like try to copy other people or try to be like other people. And she's right, you don't gotta be like other people. Just be yourself, be you. You're going to lose some friends through the process, but it's okay because you're still going to get friends and you can still communicate and be confident in yourself. And I know that now because I started taking my own advice and start being mature.
Learning to trust oneself is an ongoing process, and it's an important part in developing one's voice. Part of an educator's job is supporting that development in their students and finding ways to integrate opportunities for that exploration in their classrooms.
When I get a chance to be a leader in school, it's when my like classmates like ask for my help or like tell me they need help with things, or they like come to me to their problems. That's when like I feel like a leader, because it's like they trust me and they know they can come to me and talk to me whenever they need help. Even if we're not friends, they still come to me because they know they can talk to me and tell me things, and like they can communicate with me, or like if they need help with an assignment, they always come to me.
Personally, what I would need is time from my teachers or time in our school day to talk and have our teachers listen to what we need, what we want, so we're heard, because there's not a lot of time in school or out of school where we're given a chance to talk to our teachers as a class to give out our ideas.
So some of my teachers, what they would do is we would build our own rules, because usually we're used to like be giving rules. But I feel like a leader, when they let us choose like the rules in our group discussions, and we have an input of what we would like the classroom to look like and our expectations for the teacher, not only how they should respect us, but how we should respect each other.
Something like teachers that I do know, or like schools that they use, like help the students be very confident, is kind of just encouraging them or like practices. At my school, we do like a lot of musicals. So they kind of just help each student who performs or gets chosen be a little more confident around everybody. So an easier way to make students like who don't have as much confidence is probably just really encouragement and being supportive.
What I would need is for them to like believe in me, or like to give me like courage, because you know, sometimes like if you don't have support, you might not know where you're going, or you might not have a good mindset. You might start doubting yourself, telling yourself you can't do it, you can't do that. But if you have support from adults, teachers, and telling you you can actually do it, you believe in yourself, it helps and put a positive mindset. And then you start to think, I can do it, I can do this.
At the end of the day, the pathway towards more empowering classrooms is paved through the voices of young people. It's in working closely with students to understand what their needs are and what kind of classrooms they most thrive in that provides them agency and ownership over their own education. With this image in mind, here again is Haley sharing with us her wonderful vision of a school she'd create if it were built from her voice.
If you were to build your own school, so Haley, say you envision this, so you're gonna create your own school from scratch, what would it look like? What would you want to have in the school? What would you want the experience to be like for kids your age?
I would have all subjects I got now, plus a whole nother kind of subject in math, because I know in my school, they don't got AP middle school classes. Maybe we'll make an AP middle school class for kids that do want to challenge themselves. I will have tutors. I will have some real fun projects and stuff, because I really like a challenge towards myself to see if I can actually get to that level and see if I can actually get there to see if I like can. So I feel like it would be smart if I do like AP classes, because if other kids want to challenge themselves too, they can't. Well, nobody stop them. And if they need the help, then they could get that help.
I want to thank Jelani Santa Cruz and the team at Mikvah Challenge for providing their valuable insight. Thanks also to Abby Gillespie, Faith Zabek, and Ashley Shogren from Youth Next on sharing the background and research base for Youth Voice. And I am especially grateful to the young people whose voices we had the privilege to lift up in this episode. Haley, Diana, Amaya, Nellie, Liz, Honesty, Michelle, Sitlali, Luis, and Larice. Thank you all. You can follow Mikvah Challenge on the web at mikvahchallenge.org or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Mikvah Challenge. Thanks for joining the Lessons in Adolescence podcast, a production of Remaking Middle School, an initiative that seeks to transform the learning and development experience for young adolescents in the middle school years. Remaking Middle School brings together good educational practice in school and out of school with the latest developmental science. You can learn about Remaking Middle School or find more resources about the topics of this podcast on the web at remakingmiddleschool.org, or learn more about the founding partner organizations, the University of Virginia's Youth Next Center, on the web at education.virginia.edu/youth-next, or on Twitter at youth_next. And the Association for Middle Level Education on the web at amle.org or on Twitter at amle. The Lessons in Adolescence podcast is produced by Abby Gillespie and me, Jason Cascarino. Editing by Kim Slack. You can listen to or download each episode at the Remaking Middle School website on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks for listening.